Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, or a nice cold one on a warm spring day hanging out on the deck. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Seriously, the miracle of technology. It's AV and Mike in the GM Shuffle, and I'm in Secaucus, New Jersey, and my man Lombardi is down under. That's right, the dingo ate my baby, Crocodile Dundee, Australia with Hugh Jackman, directed by Baz Luhrmann, Australian football. Seriously, I want everything. Tell me about the flights. Tell me about the food. Tell me about the people. What do you got going on down under?
Oh, my God. So first of all, I'm on Qantas, you know, like Rain Man, never crash. Perfect,
Qantas,
right?
Qantas never crashed.
Never crash. And then it's just unbelievable. I got to lay completely flat out. The food was incredible. The service was even better. I mean, there must have been 50 people, stewardesses and staff on that plane. It's the biggest plane I think I ever flew on. 15 hours to get here. My Lord, was it long. You know, I was like, can we just get over some land so I'm a little comfortable here, you know? But I got here, and it's been great. I mean, it's been unbelievable. You would never know how much goes into Australian rules football in terms of coaching, the technology that they use, the training methods that they use. It's been a fascinating 3 days for me. It's been so much fun. I'm with the Essendon Club, which has been great. They've been facilities – AD are unbelievable. You can't believe the facilities, and the players are great. It's been a blast. I mean, the weather, it's wintertime. Tonight I'm going to go into Melbourne and hang out and go to an Italian restaurant for dinner and with some of the coaches. And so it's been great. I'm going to go to a game at Marvel Stadium, 50,000 people there. I mean, I'm living large here. It's been fun.
You had me at Italian food. I want to know for you, a real proud Italian American, what kind of Italian food in Australia? Like, if you come back and you go, honestly, man, this is like a 5-star restaurant, that's going to blow my mind.
They say there's a huge Italian population in Australia, in Melbourne, on this street and that I'm going to go to tonight. So I'm going to give you the full rundown. I mean, look, they know Tony Soprano here, so they know what's expected. I mean, the people are so friendly. It's unbelievable. They're so friendly and so nice, and they love this sport. It's funny. Essendon brought me down here. Xavier Campbell, the CEO of the company, reached out to me because I did a couple radio shows and said, hey, can you come down and consult for us? And then all these other teams in the AFL are trying to get me to come over to work for free. Like, I realize I'm Italian. We tend to jump sides a lot, you know, but like, I'm not going to do that, right?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I always knew you were a big deal, and now we can say we're a big deal, not only on this continent, literally the world over. Michael Lombardi is making an impact on Australia as well. So I look forward. I'm sure they'll be writing for The Athletic. Go ahead.
It's really humbling, the power of the written word. Like, you write a book, it's really humbling. I mean, I wouldn't be here without a book. Like, you know, my 3 Super Bowl rings are meaningless. I mean, the power of the book that people read, and like Thomas Friedman said, the world's flat. It's just really a humbling experience to be here, that people in another country read your book. You know, I'm thinking nobody in the NFL read my book, and people in the other country, which I think a lot of people in the NFL didn't read my book. You know, the thing I love about the book is I got more basketball coaches. It's the greatest thing ever. Basketball coaches love the book.
Well, that's the thing. Like you said, it's universal, and that's why I think people can appreciate it so much, because they know that the stories you're telling are parallels not only for NFL but NBA, but I think life, right? You're telling life lessons in that book. So if sports is a metaphor for life, then your book, Gridiron Genius is a metaphor for people.
I think so. I think it tries to be. And I think the problem with the book originally was we sold it as a football book, but it's a culture book disguised as a football book. That'll be the audience. We've changed the cover of the book for the paperback. So we'll see. But this is incredible. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. And the one thing I learned about Australian people is that they don't mind getting an airplane for 14 hours. Like they say, hey, if you live in this country, you got to be prepared to fly somewhere.
Right. Just figure it out. Good luck with the koala bears and the kangaroos. People always think the pouches are cute. Apparently, if you look inside a pouch, filthy, like disgusting, filled with bacteria. So stay away from the zoo. Let's get to some football, my man. Rodney Harrison was almost a Raider. What?
Let me tell you that.
Instead of joining the Patriots. Yeah, Harrison almost signed with the Raiders back in 2003. According to Harrison, though, it wasn't meant to be for one simple reason. Rodney Harrison laughed and said, yeah, because they were cheap. I mean, I can't play for free. I live out in California. I got people I got to take care of. That is true. California's expensive. It was all of $250,000 per year, something like that. I mean, it was a number, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't what I was worth. And I really think that Coach Belichick came in and really valued me as a player, as a person, and he showed me a lot of respect. And that's what I wanted. Money is cool, but I wanted the respect and the knowledge. I wanted to be able to go from losing to winning, and it happened. When I came here, I actually learned how to play football on a different level.
He did. I'm not going to deny what he said, but here's the real reality of it. We had him agree to a contract. The contract was typed up. He's sitting in the Hall of Fame room, which is where we signed contracts. It was kind of spooky in the Hall of Fame room. There's about 20 pictures of Al Davis inducting people into the Hall of Fame. He's in the same green jacket, you know. And so he's in this room with his agent, Steve Feldman's his agent. Steve was always a little shaky, you know. He had a lot of stuff going on. And Bill at the last hour comes in at the last minute and starts talking to the kid, and we can't get Al Davis to move any more money into it because he really didn't want to sign Rodney Harrison. He thought Harrison was done. You know, his hamstring was bad. He didn't really. So even when we were making the deal, there was no more money. And then the great Bruce Allen is the GM of the, you know, he was did the contract. So he couldn't get it and he wasn't sold on it. And I'm sitting there saying, this guy's a really good player. We could use him. Well, no. Next thing you know, they swoop in. We got a contract. It's just waiting to be signed. It's literally waiting to be signed. They come in and the kid leaves the building and we lose him. So it was agreed upon. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to do it. It was agreed upon. But, you know, sometimes I think, you know, you're pissed off at the moment. The kid did the right thing. He did the right thing. He learned how to play football. He went to the right place for his skill set, and I'm happy that he did. And he fed his family a lot of money.
And he said Belichick showed him respect, showed him what he was worth, did call you guys cheap. Fair? Unfair?
I think we had the right deal. I think he had coming off a year where he didn't play very well, and he got beat bad by Denver on a touchdown, and it looked like he had a bad hamstring, and he wasn't in high demand. He wasn't in high demand, and I knew he was really not healthy, and so I was pushing to sign him. But, you know, he didn't have a great 40 time coming out of Western Illinois, so the college reports were down on him. He was never on the Raiders board whatsoever. And the Raiders back then were all about, okay, you know, if a guy can't run, we're not going to take him. So that was the problem. And I think that's really why, you know, at the end of the day, we couldn't get any more money out of Al Davis. So that's, you know, that, and I think it worked out better for him. We went downhill immediately after that. So it probably worked out better, but at least we had the right idea.
Lots of drama right now for the Dallas Cowboys. Here's the update for Ezekiel Elliott. Was not on the charter flight with the majority of the team July 25th, officially a no-show. When the time came for mandatory attendance one day later. Team owner Jerry Jones officially called his two-time rushing champion late, and the club went on to place him on the reserve, did not report list. Zeke was later spotted in Mexico. So real simple here, right, Mike? They got to make a decision. Are you going to pay Zeke or are you going to pay Dak? Dak's still got a year left, but you don't want him to be a no-show. He's going to be pissed off. How come I'm not getting paid? And right now, it looks like Zeke's drawn a line in the sand here with Jerry Jones. How does this thing going to play out? Because clearly Jerry's going to have to pick who he's going to pay. He can't pay all these guys.
I think Jerry's got to go to Dak and say, I wrote this column for The Athletic today. I think Jerry's got to go to Dak and say, Dak, look, you're not worth, I can't pay you $30 million this contract. I'm not going to pay you $25. I'll pay you $23 million for 3 years. I'll guarantee the whole thing. I'll give you the cash exactly. But I got to pay this player because I think Zeke is a game changer. I don't think they've utilized Zeke enough in the passing game to really warrant where he could change. They caught 77 passes last year, almost double. Almost if you add his first 2 years in the league, it's more than he did his first 2 years. I think if I'm Jerry, and look, I'm not a back guy. I think you can find backs. Zeke's not a back. He's a game changer. You could take Zeke and line him up outside the formation. And what you could do with Zeke is if you got, say you had another running back with Zeke, a guy that could do some things, not great, but kind of an H-back, kind of that. What I would do is I would play Zeke and this other back together. And I would be with one tight end who could block, and I would be in that formation. And then from that formation, I would utilize Zeke in the passing game, line him up in the slot, line him up outside, force everybody else to do things, and then force him to get the ball in space. He should have 10 touchdowns. He should average over in receptions. He should average over 10 yards a catch. He's a weapon. You know, and I don't think they utilize his skill set. I think they just run him, and I think they just do that. I think it's a mistake. I think you got to pay the player. And I'm not about paying running backs. I'm not there with Melvin Gordon. I think Melvin Gordon's a good player, but you know, I got to pay Phillip Rivers. I'm paying Zeke
because you know, Mike, exactly what you just said. The cynics would say, dude, have you been watching the NFL the last 4 years? It's a passing league. Pay the quarterback, pay the receivers, pay the left guard, pay the tight ends. Running backs are dime a dozen. They get devalued. But you're saying I'd make an exception in Zeke because he's the elite of the running back class. I think you're right. If you are going to pay him, well, utilize him. Like you said, use him in space. Don't just make him a guy, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. I think you got to utilize his skill in space. I mean, this guy is a matchup nightmare. I mean, if you line him up in the slot, you know, on first down, and he's in the slot against a linebacker, because look, if you play the Cowboys, you got to play base defense against him. You can't line up your nickel. He'll run you out of nickel. Like, he's a true weapon. He's all over. He's a point guard that you got to match up to. I just think, to me, that's the difference. And I think he's the straw that stirs the drink. I think, look, I think Amari Cooper's a great player. I'd pay Zeke before Amari because Zeke can do as much as Amari. I mean, Zeke can make plays. And I just don't get – and he's a matchup player. Who's covering Zeke on the other team?
Let me play it out then. You sign Zeke to the money he wants. You go to Dak and say, I can't pay you 3 a year. I can give you 3 years, 23. And Dak says, I don't care. I'm not taking it. So you'd be willing to say, all right. Good luck.
One more year. Eventually, I'll get him because Jerry can use his persuasive skills, you know.
Right.
But when you go play the Cowboys, if Zeke ain't on the field, it's a whole different game. It's a whole different game. Could you imagine what Josh McDaniels would do with Zeke Elliott?
Again, like you said, for those who haven't listened to GM Shuffle, you said you think he's the best offensive mind of the game. So if you had a play caller like that who could utilize and mismatch, as you said to me before, football is so much a game of mismatches. I'm going to exploit your greatest weakness and promote my biggest strength, which in this case for the Cowboys is Zeke.
Right. I'm going to be in base offense with two backs, which forces you to be in regular personnel. And then I'm going to take advantage of your slow linebacker who you got to keep on the field. And, oh, if you go to nickel, I'm going to run it up your ass. I'm going to kill you in it, and then you're not going to get the back. So where are you going, right? I don't want to substitute. The goal of offensive football today is not to be sitting there on the sideline with that huge play sheet and say, let's go, give me 11. Now I want 12. The key is to be in a base personnel group and be able to get to every other group. So if you're in 21, two backs, one tight end, you can get into 11. You can get into 10. You can move people around. The key is to never having to substitute. That's what Zach gets you. That's what Zeke gets you.
Yeah, certainly a special player. Speaking of special players on offense, Michael Thomas and the Saints closing in on a contract extension amid his holdout. The wide receiver and the Saints expected to reach an agreement on an extension soon. That's according to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Florio reported Friday two sides were close to reaching a deal. You think Thomas is being unreasonable on this one?
I thought he was being a little greedy. You know, he's a little bit like, what did Melfi tell Tony one time? You can't have all the rigatoni. You can't eat all the pasta, right? Like, at some point, you can't eat it all. Right. You know, and I think Dak has to know you can't eat it all. Right. Like if you're Dak Prescott, going back to him for just a second, you got this contract.
Sure.
If you make it short, if you do a 3-year deal with Dak, you're saying you got three more contracts, this one and then two more. Right. And at the end of the day, you and Zeke are sitting on a porch 30 years from now. Your bank account's going to be a hell of a lot bigger than his. Right. And it's the same thing with Michael Thomas. You can't eat all the pasta. You can't eat all the rigatoni. You got to let it go a little lighter. But Michael Thomas is a really good player. And I think he obviously, the window for the Saints is right now. They need him to get going. They lose Michael Thomas all of a sudden. With Jarrett Cook, Michael Thomas, wow, they're formidable.
And speaking of receivers, the Giants are basically out of receivers. They've watched Sterling Shepard and Corey Coleman go down with injuries. Golden Tate, PED suspension. Listen, you and I already, I think, had the Giants winning like three games. Now that you've lost three receivers, you want to make that two games now?
you know what cracks me up about this is people are like, they're giving Gettleman shit because he lost Corey Coleman. Do you realize Corey Coleman can't play? Does anybody realize Corey Coleman can't play? Like, if Corey Coleman's on the field and I'm driving to the stadium and, oh, there's Corey Coleman, do you think I'm worried? Do you think, oh, God, I'm playing Corey Coleman today? Like, if Zeke's on the field, I'm freaking worried. I'm not worried about Corey Coleman. Like, the Giants had a receiver problem before Corey Coleman showed up. Like, I don't get the media. I don't get it. Like, they're giving him a hard time because Corey Coleman got hurt. Why weren't you giving him a hard time before Corey Coleman started playing? Like, to think you could count on Corey Coleman, then give him a hard time. Like, it makes no sense at all to me. And so, you know, Sterling Shepard's a slot receiver who he's got to play outside, right? So you got that. He doesn't really have that going for him. I mean, Golden Tate is a slot receiver who can't play outside. Okay, where are they going to play a guy? Like, don't give me crap about losing him. I mean, this Giant offense could be really bad. It could be really bad.
And speaking of the Giants, Kurt Warner, the quarterback Eli Manning replaced, he knows what Eli's going through. He said it's always hard. Of course, Kurt's now an NFL Network analyst. He was paying a visit to Giants training camp. When you're the veteran guy, you know there's a guy behind you that's eventually going to play. It was always one of those things. You had to fight not playing or worrying about making a mistake or getting tight, playing differently than you did before. But seriously, you and I both know Eli is going to get replaced by the starters Daniel Jones at some point this season because they're a bad team. And if you have a bad team, what the hell is the point of using the veteran Eli? Go put Daniel Jones in there and see what you got, right?
No doubt. No doubt. I mean, look, what are the Giants going to hang their hat on? Jenkins is over 30 years old. I mean, I'm not a Jabril Peppers fan, so we'll see. Can Sam Beal start at corner? Are they good enough at corner to hold on? You know, where's the strength of the Giants? I don't see it. I'm with you. I think this is a team that I think the over-under is at six. I'm taking the under, and especially if Eli plays quarterback. I mean, look, you think anybody's going to be scared about them offensively? First of all, Eli can't throw the ball 45 yards down the field. So you're playing an Arena League game when you play him. You're loading the box. You're making sure Barkley doesn't beat you, and you're going to squeeze it. Who's going to separate on the outside for them? Russell Shepard? Alonzo Russell from Toledo? I mean, come on. Who's going to do it?
The other part of it, too, I mean, as I look at training camp right now, Mike, for anybody who says slow season, not much happens, the Dolphins fired a coach.
Yeah.
They fired their offensive line coach 1 week into camp. Think about that. Pat Flaherty is now gone. Hired in February, shortly after Brian Flores took over as head coach. But they struggled in the spring and summer. Flores already making the decision, listing communication and fit rather than one incident as the biggest factors in his decision. Does this happen more often? Do I just as a fan not realize this? Because I'm like, wow, a coach already got replaced and it's not even August 1st.
Yeah, I think this was a bad marriage. First of all, this New England system that they're running in Miami, if you haven't had any experience in running this system, it's really hard. And so what he did is he hired an old-time guy who's set in his ways. You know, he's used to doing things his own way. Not saying that's right or wrong, but that's what he is. And they try to get him to change and try to get him to conform. One thing about you have to understand about New England's system, it's easier to train than it is to retrain. And this was a marriage that was never going to work. I mean, I can honestly tell you when they announced they hired Pat Flaherty, I said, no chance. No chance that's going to work. Because what he's about and what they're about it down there in Miami, which I support it completely. I give Brian Flores a ton of credit. He saw it as a problem. He didn't try to manage it. He didn't try to say, hey, they're going to get on my ass in Miami because of this. He basically just went out and said, look, I got to make this decision. It's in the best interest of the team. I do it. It was, and I think that's why. And, you know, Gooch gets to go down there. Gooch, who kind of got fired, wasn't fair for him to get fired in Indianapolis based on what they did. He coached well, but he wasn't the right fit in Indianapolis for what they wanted to do. I don't think Flaherty was the right fit at all. It never was going to work. And I was surprised after mini camps that they didn't just make this move. I mean, this is a move that basically, what's that, the term in divorce?
Irreconcilable differences.
Irreconcilable differences, correct. This was a divorce waiting to happen. I mean, this was like, you knew this was going to go. There's no chance.
Well, there's a divorce, and we've seen Seattle divorce some of their players, but now we have a union because Bobby Wagner gets signed to a three-year, $54 million extension, $40 million guaranteed. The guy's 29 years old, Mike. He's the highest paid inside linebacker, $18 million a year. It was blunt to May and said, I want to be the highest paid linebacker in the NFL. CJ Mosley gets $17 million a year from the Jets. But here's the thing that's interesting. Wagner negotiated the contract without an agent.
Can you imagine that?
Is this going to happen more often?
I mean, and look, he got 40 guaranteed. Now, I haven't seen if it's all 40 guaranteed. He got 54 total. Look, the one thing what people don't understand about Seattle's defense, and I think this is a big misconception, and I read about it, people talk about it. The Mike linebacker in Seattle's defense is one of the most important positions on the field. Just like people say, well, corner's the most important. They don't play enough man-to-man in Seattle for corner to be important. They play cover three. They play zone. If anybody tries to challenge that, they're wrong. They're completely wrong. The Mike's important. The three techniques important. The defensive line's important. The strong safety. Those positions, and I think this is where Pete Carroll's getting back to his basics. I think he's getting back to his roots. And look, they paid a quarterback a ton of money. Now they paid their Mike linebacker. They're strong down the middle of the field. They're going to have to see how it goes. They got to hope they hit on – they got to get back to being really good at drafting. That's what they got to do. And it's the same thing here. You know, I'm at the AFL and Australian rules. And the parallels between the problems here with teams in this league and the problem with teams, it really comes down to player development. It really comes down to what teams can develop players and what players are worth developing. And if you can do that, if you can break that code, you really have a chance. And most teams like the Redskins have no idea how to break that code. No, the Redskins, can you imagine the Redskins tried out four offensive linemen this week thinking that they weren't going to need offensive linemen? Are you serious? Did they look at their depth chart before the summer? Can you imagine that? They have a quarterback who they're trying to practice. Here's what people don't understand. When you draft a rookie quarterback, Daniel Jones, Haskins, you have to spend overtime and money to bring in offensive linemen, because if you put these guys in a preseason game with a bunch of backup offensive linemen, it's going to be, you can't even evaluate them. You can't even watch them. You have no chance to evaluate them. So you got to spend time on these backup offensive linemen, and obviously Washington didn't, and they're going to pay a price. And I think this is what happens when you don't understand player development.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned the Redskins, and how about Adrian Peterson? The Redskins running backs made nearly $100 million in his NFL career, but Perry doesn't have much money left. Over the past years, Peterson's financial woes have led to at least three different lawsuits with three different creditors using the legal system and trying to get Peterson to pay off his debts. Of those three lawsuits, two have been filed in the past 8 weeks. According to his lawyer, Chase Carlson, the 34-year-old is having financial problems because he was trusting the wrong people. We've seen before, this guy's a horrific father. The stuff that he did to his kid was horrific. And I get the fact he's a great player, and I understand that. But Mike, I understand, again, I see a lot of NFL players struggle with money and all that. $100 million bucks? Are you kidding? How does that happen?
I don't understand it. Look, I think, you know, I don't understand how that happens in the least. You know, it's like, and he had representation. I mean, Ben Dagra, who was a longtime agent in the NFL, was his guy. And so he's had like real good. Now Dagra got suspended by the league, by the Players Association, and I'm not sure where he is right now, if he's still doing representation on players. He used to be with CAA, then he got fired. But I mean, when you lose $100 million, I mean, how do you do that? Like, how do you go about? I mean, one thing is, you know, when you're making this kind of money, you don't need to hit a three-run homer. You just need to hit the ball, take the two iron out, and hit it down the middle of the field. Because if you make 5% on this kind of money, you're going to be a wealthy man forever.
It's honestly, it's staggering how these guys can do this, though. It happens a lot, right?
Right. Well, like DeAndre Baker buys his mom. I mean, I think it's great you buy your mom a car. Does she really need a Bentley? I mean, maybe
find
you
something
don't,
that's reliable. Yeah.
Maybe you don't buy her a Kia, but don't buy her a Bentley, right? Like, find somewhere in the middle. I just don't understand it. And I think sometimes these guys think they don't understand that the money's not going to come in. If you make $500,000 a year in the NFL, you know, or $1 million a year in the NFL, maybe you make it for 5 years in a row, but after that, you're not going to make it again. So how do you have to live on your salary for the rest of your life? How do you do that?
Right. I think that you're right. That's the biggest challenge. It's a 5 year window. I mean, the average NFL career is 3.2 seasons, whatever
yeah,
it is. So
that's
it's
right.
Like, it's very tough to be able to keep that money. All right, credit card bills. Every month you get them with multiple payments and multiple due dates. Wouldn't it be easier to have just one payment, Mike, at a lower rate? You can with a credit card consolidation loan from our friends at Lightstream. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Plus, the rate is fixed, so you'll never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fee. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserves a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver.
And honestly, just for me and Mike, for our listeners, apply apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/TheGMShuffle. That's Lightstream.com, Lightstream.com/TheGMShuffle.
Subject to credit approval, rates include 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/TheGMShuffle for more information.
Look, we've all been there when we've had to make a tough decision in a short amount of time. I mean, if you're trying to go out and get tickets to a concert or to a football game, and it's last minute, you're trying to get the best deal, you don't know where to look, and you ultimately end up on a decision that's a little bit lackluster. Well, our friends at ZipRecruiter take that out of the hiring process. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast, and right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. I mean, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for that position. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/shuffle. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So I love the GM Shuffle. Not only is it instructive, we learn about the football from Mike. It's a travel guide. You learn about Australia. But now we just get advice from Mike. I don't know if this is a sponsored segment. I'm not sure where Joey's coming with this. I'm not sure if Mike just wants to indulge. We can get cooking advice.
Well, Millie's going to give cooking advice. Millie wants to have Millie's Corner on cooking. I can promise you that. That's going to happen. Yeah,
Millie's Corner on cooking and also moving. I want Millie's moving advice because that's key.
Yeah, Millie and Bernadette could handle it. They could do both the cooking and the moving.
But I see here advice. Advice from Mike, don't make too much of the who looks good, who looks bad. What do you got on that specifically? I'm sure that pertains to football, not just life.
I think this is ridiculous. You know, every day you pick up, you go to the redzone.org or whatever you read in the morning, and this guy had a great practice or this guy's going to make the team. Like, at some point, don't believe any of it. Like, until you can watch a game and you watch the first game of the, you watch the punt team on both teams, the punt team, punt return, kickoff team, kickoff return. You watch those four teams. If players you don't know are on those teams, get to know those players. All this talk about a guy, you know, I've seen it so many times. Guy had one catch. The next day I read the paper. Oh, he had a great day at practice. The other 70 plays he was in, he sucked. Like, at some point, you got to just, you know, the people that are watching the practices, they're just watching glimpses. They're just grading, like, just one thing. You can't do it. Like, and I'm saying this for anybody listening to this who might bet on summer teams, okay? I think you got to be real careful about listening to the rhetoric. And the one advice I'd give, if you want to bet on preseason games, if that's what you want to do, then make sure that you look at the coaches' one-loss records in the preseason and bet coaches, because coaches that want to win in the preseason have already tried to win before.
All right. Good advice there from Mike. Send us your questions by emailing us at thegmshuffle@gmail.com. I will only opine, if you're going to bet on preseason games, that's a hell of a life you got
exactly.
going on. Hello, Michael Lombardi. Yeah, longtime listener and reader. I think you've got the best NFL content out there. Had a question for you, maybe something to talk about in the pod. Let's say I'm an offensive coach planning summer practices. I've been listening to the GM Shuffle, so I know I need to emphasize. First down, because we've got to get the drive started. Second down, because we need to play Canadian football. I love that. Third down, because if we can't convert third down, we're in trouble. And then a whole bunch of situations. Red zone, short yardage, 2-minute fast, 2-minute milk on the clock. Whoa, timeout. If we don't have any tendencies, we can't be any good, right? If I focus
love this
on
guy.
Everything. Yeah, we'll wind up average at best across the board. So how would you slice up practice time? If you did put up percentages around the downs or the different situations, what would you do? Also, out of curiosity, how have the guys you've been around do it, or how do some teams around the league approach it?
Well, I think, first of all, not every team in the league approaches it this way. They say they do. That's why the people that don't read, they didn't read my book, because we do that. You know, even though Belichick's got 74 wins and the next closest competition is 57, yeah, if everybody does what he does, then why is there such a gap? Why has he lapped the field? Okay, the first thing you got to do is every week you should have a period for drive starters. Every practice should be drive starters. 12 plays for the defense, 12 plays for the offense. That should be ones against ones. You should always have a huge second down period in practice every single day. Second and 10, second and 8, second and 9. You're going to have a huge time. And then every time you've got to practice third down in the red zones, you start red zone, and then you got red zone third downs, and you got field third downs. Those things have to be practiced constantly all the time. And then you split up the other. And then I think you do like baseball. You've got to take a certain day. We're going to work on certain parts of the field. You know, where we are with the ball. Here we are. It's third down five. The ball's at midfield. What do we do? All these game situations that you want to go through, two-minute drives, all that, every day. Two-minute drive can be the fast 2 minute, it could be the slow 2 minute, but you've got to work it in. And so when you go to team, you just can't go ones against ones. You got to go situations against situations. And so that's how I would break it up.
And so switching sides, the ball over the last 2 years, he also writes, Alex B, watching Pat's game sometimes, I wonder if all they're practicing is red zone defense. No doubt an exaggeration, but they'll keep a safety deep, make sure their opponent has to go through the red area. And then once they get down, they're, it's a whole different team. Even from the broadcast team, you can tell the players are more comfortable. They're playing faster when they get in the red zone on defense.
No doubt. Alec, you hit the nail on the head. There's not a day that goes by they don't practice red zone defense. Because, look, it's real simple, right? The secret to all victory lies in the organization of the non-obvious. The non-obvious is if we don't give up big plays and we make you work the ball into the red zone, then if we play good red zone, we win the four-point plays, we'll keep the score down. You only get 12 possessions. The way you get the game gets into the 30s is if you give up a big play and they don't have to drive the ball down the field. That's what cracks me up about some of these colleges. If I was the head coach at Rutgers, right, all I would do with Rutgers is practice red zone. I would be vanilla on first down. I would say to the opponent, look, I'm not as good as you are. You're not getting any big plays on me. And when you get down this red area, I'm going to stop you. You know who does that? Iowa State. Iowa State, you got to give Matt Campbell a ton of credit because he's figured it out. He reduced the game down because he knows he can't keep up with the speed in the Big 12. So he's reduced the game to where he can win it for him. And I give him credit. Alec, I love you. You're awesome.
But make sure, keep it coming. GM Shuffle, of course. You can always tweet Mike. He's very interactive on Twitter. Tweet me as well. We'd love to hear from you. Last thought here. So the Bengals, AJ Green, likely out 6 to 8 weeks. Adam Schefter saying he's not expected to be ready for the regular season opener September 8th at Seattle. But here's what I want to close with. Todd Gurley to reporters said, stop putting this bad energy on my knee. Y'all have got to stop putting this bad energy in my knee, man. Just let it be. The knee was an issue throughout 2018, given multiple reports of an arthritic component. It quite likely will be an issue going forward. And you have said, Mike, stay away from Gurley if you got fantasy because you don't trust his knee.
You can't trust his knee. He's telling you to stay away. He knows it hurts. He knows he has a hard time. I feel bad for the kid. What a great player. But he stirs their drink too. Look, they gave him $60 million and they were right to give it to him in terms of the talent. They weren't right to give it to him in terms of the knee. That guy makes their offense go. If he's healthy in that Super Bowl, I think it's a different Super Bowl, but he wasn't, and that's the game. And look, here's the problem. It's like, okay, the Cowboys sign Alfred Morris. Well, when Alfred Morris is in the game, everybody knows it's run. Right? Because he does nothing in the passing game. When C.J. Anderson was in the game, Belichick knew it was run. Right? So players dictate what you can do. But when you get a multidimensional player like Gurley and like Zeke that you can't really know what they're going to do and they can move them around in formation. Remember, Gurley averaged 10 yards a catch 2 years ago. Those are the kind of things that make it really difficult. And that's what you got to be able to do. So, you know, I feel for Gurley. I really do. Now, before we go, I do want to know, I've been reading a book called Chaos. Since I've been on a lot of airplanes, I've read a lot of books. And I picked up this book at the LA airport because it caught me. It's called Chaos. It's about the Manson murders. And this writer has figured out that perhaps there was more involved than just Manson killing these people, which I do think must be what Quentin based the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood off of. Is this true?
No. You know what? That does sound like an intriguing book, but I'm a huge Tarantino fan, obviously. You and I are both talking about the fact this is the movie we were looking forward to this summer. I liked it, but I didn't love it. I thought it was a little long. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. Could use some tightening up in the editing. The first like hour and a half plus is mainly a love letter to Hollywood and just the Hollywood he grew up with. And, you know, DiCaprio plays as fading actors in Westerns and Brad Pitt's his stunt double. He's hilarious. Margot Robbie's Sharon Tate. Of course, she was obviously murdered in the Manson murders. Without giving it away for you, the final 30 minutes, Tarantino, who's a fan of revisionist history, we saw this with Inglourious Basterds, saw it with Django Unchained, he does his take on the Manson murders. I don't think, though, to what you're referring to, it's rooted in necessarily evidence. It's more more Quentin kind of putting his own spin on things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And this book kind of puts its spin on it. They think there's some CIA tendencies. They think the Helter Skelter. This book basically says that the guy that wrote Helter Skelter, Vincent
Bugliosi, right?
They said it's a completely false book. Completely false. They just discredit the book.
But that's crazy. Bugliosi is like a famed prosecutor. He's written like other best-selling
books. This book just says wow. This guy and Vincent in their last meeting at his kitchen table in Pasadena, just basically they had it out because he just thinks it was him promoting himself. It was all about him promoting himself. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to coming home. I'm looking forward to our Sopranos tour, which we are going to definitely do. I promise you that.
Coming soon. We're not sure exactly when, but Mike and I are going to go to Holstein's Diner. He's going to parallel park Lake Meadow. We're going to go to Satch Reality's. We might go to the Bada Bing. Our wives may be upset. We'll take a picture outside. We'll see where Ralphie killed the stripper.
And we will definitely go to the bakery where Vito, before he became Vito, is really good. My man Corey knows where that is. Nice. So we're definitely going to do that.
I love it. Safe travels back from Australia. The GM Shuffle, subscribe, rate, and review. Honestly, what I can't wait for is the review of the Italian restaurant. So I hope
I'm going to give it to you. Don't worry. I'm going to tweet a picture tonight. All right, buddy. Thanks,
Mike.